Hey everyone, this is Travis.
And I'm Ryan.
And as always, we are the Wheat and the Chaff. It's a short but sweet kind of episode today. We're catching up a little bit from last week when we weren't able to get together and we got a very compressed time, but so we'll get right to it.
Yes.
The word on everybody's lips, Paula Deen.
No. Paula White.
Paula White. No. Paula Deen would actually be probably more.
I don't know. It might be on people's lips right now because Thanksgiving's coming up. And
Paula Deen used to be on everybody's lips and not for a good reason, but
yeah.
But Paula White, that's who I meant to go with. Paula White.
So she hears the sound of victory.
She hears the sound of victory. I just can't ignore this. I know it's been, how long has it been since the election? A week and a half? It feels like so much longer and yet not long enough.
Yeah, because, you know, it's apparently still going on.
It's apparently still going on. The angels and demons are fighting it out in the spiritual realm as we speak. But it's still going on. But one of the things that kind of disturbed me the most, one of the things that I felt was, I don't know, it was an odd election, so to say. I mean, which we've talked about a little bit, and we all then had to live through an experience together. But there was this moment of realizing as people kind of were dealing with this post-election recount slash counting kind of environment, things like Paula White, who held a prayer meeting on behalf of the president, as pastor to the president, held a prayer meeting.
I think it was a workout too, based on some video I saw. It looked like a workout as well.
Might have been a little bit of some, yeah, like a Pilates class slash prayer survival.
Saw somebody doing push-ups, you know.
There's some CrossFit going on there.
I think so.
But basically held a thing where she summoned the angels from Africa and South America.
Yeah.
To come and intervene.
Yeah.
In the counting process. And my question to you, here's what I need to know. We'll get to the point of like, why Africa? Why South America? Why weren't the American angels good enough? Because that's a question of itself. I want to know, what do you think she was actually expecting them to do if they came?
I'm still confused of why she called angels from Africa and South America. I'm just so confused. Like.
Okay, number one, why did we leave out the European angels? Where's the Australian? Yes. Like, why those specific areas?
She's trying to hit, like, is she trying to reach the minority population?
I don't know.
Audience? I don't know. So, I don't, yeah.
I don't know.
It's just weird, and this is Trump's spiritual advisor.
This is one of his, you know, quote-unquote pastors.
This is the president's spiritual advisor. Yeah. Right-hand woman to, you know,
calling in reinforcements, you know, heavenly reinforcements from apparently Africa and South America. I guess here's the question I would have. This was my first take, you know, kind of reaction on it was, you know, you and I kind of grew up in a similar area of both time and also faith, because you're Arkansas. I was probably down in Alabama at the same, you know, similar time, right? And we were kind of hitting our early teens.
Yeah.
You read this Present Darkness and Piercing the Darkness,
oh, yeah.
And you've read the whole Frank Peretti thing, where in Frank's novel, you know, angels and demons are physically warring,
battling it
in
out.
A supernatural realm, right? So, like, you and I are unaware of it, but, like, in Frank Peretti's novel, an angel and a demon might be having, like, this Bruce Lee, you know, Enter the Dragon kind of moment, and they're tumbling and crashing in through things, and we just see, like, a curtain flutter.
Yeah.
Right, like it's almost like their physical presence is so, you know, so tangible in the spiritual realm that it actually can manifest in the physical. And he actually has a point there where a pastor is being elected or recalled. I can't remember exactly this, but basically, there's a pastor in his congregation. He's being like a vote of confidence is happening, and they're trying to tally the vote, and like angels are making sure the right votes go into these pots, and like demons are like knocking other people's votes out of their hand, and like or vice versa. It's fantastic fiction. I worry when it actually became someone's reality for viewing this election.
Yeah. So a few weeks ago, we were talking about. So we're going through a series called Living in Fear, at our church, and it's just kind of playing off the whole what fears people are dealing with right now in the midst of the pandemic, and even the election has to do with it, and all this kind of stuff. And but then kind of pointing us back to Christ and fearing God and what the fear of the Lord is and all that kind of stuff. And in this one series I was looking at is the whole concept of yin and yang, mm-hmm. which is an Eastern religious concept.
Right.
You know, Eastern philosophy concept. And the yin and yang idea has actually infiltrated into Christianity, because for some reason we see that there's a constant spiritual battle going on between God's side and Satan's side.
As if they were equal.
As if they're equal opposing forces. But we know that in the end, God wins, Christ returns, and he is victorious. But the problem with that is, it is not a struggle for God.
Right.
There is no battle going on. Like, if you read Revelation, you know, people are so focused on Revelation right now, as always. And so when you look at Revelation and you see like the great battle of Armageddon, right?
Right.
And you see the rider on the white horse and he pulls a sword out of his mouth. The sword out of his mouth comes. And people are like, oh, there's the battle and it's going to be this battle wage, and God emerges victorious. That sword is not actually a sword. It's because the scripture is called the sword of the spirit.
Right.
And if you look at how God deals with things, it's he speaks.
Yep.
He spoke creation into being.
Yep.
Look at Jesus when he was being arrested as in John's gospel. And Jesus goes, who are you here to arrest? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am he. And then when he spoke, they all fell back.
Yep.
And so that's like a preview, a small little taste of what the rider on the white horse will do, who is Jesus, the returning king, the conquering king, who will just speak and all his enemies will bow.
Will fall. Yeah, will fall and will
so
bow.
So it's not going to bow. It's not this cosmic, epic struggle back and forth.
So you're saying it's not basically, it's not the Lord of the Rings.
No.
You know, where someone's out there, you know, wielding, you know, some big, powerful sword. Yeah, I think that's the you know, I have a lot of friends and a lot of acquaintances in this particular movement, right? And so this is the kind of discussion we're constantly having. It's they are convinced that these kind of moments, whether it be this election, other elections, other events, they are convinced that these are key moments of spiritual warfare. And I don't disagree with the fact that spiritual warfare exists.
Yeah,
I think that there are definitely moments where, you know, we are to pray. We are to pray specifically for something, against something, because of something.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that losing an election based on 4 years of performance and personality is spiritual warfare. And I understand I might ruffle some feathers by saying that, but there's a part of me where I go, you know, this is sometimes the struggle that we deal with kind of the charismatic movement. Everything is a spiritual warfare moment. Everything is us versus the enemy, everything. And so I think it becomes very easy to read that anything that I disagree with is the work of the devil, as opposed to maybe I'm wrong, or maybe we just disagree and that's okay, right? Like, in other words, instead of there being kind of like godly disagreement, in some folks' minds, it's basically the one way I see the world is the right way. Everything else is like a demonic force, you know, and that's not healthy for, it's not healthy for relationships. It's not healthy for the church. I mean, it's counterproductive to so many things.
It is counterproductive because it's, we have to, because we forget that the victory is already won.
Mm.
You know, like what Paula White did, you know, she kept saying, you know, she was like trying to declare some victory. And I hear the sound of victory. It's like, well, if you're talking about when Jesus died on the cross and rose again, yes, that is the sound of victory, because that's when the victory was declared. And we don't need to worry about everything else, because I said recently at our church, is like, look, before Christ, tomorrow was something to be afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
But after Christ, it's something to look forward to.
It's a good word.
And so, because no election, no politician, nothing else that could happen in this world tomorrow, next day, next year, whatever it is going to change the fact that Christ is returning. And we have the victory.
Let me ask you this, then.
Christ.
I would love your thoughts on this one. And I know that they might range from eye roll to just, you know, kind of amused, bemused kind of expression to possible disgust. I don't know if you saw the meme. It, for some reason, proliferated pretty heavily on my Facebook feed, especially, I believe it was on Wednesday or Thursday night. It was right either before, right after. Actually, it might have been Saturday, because it might have been right after Biden was announced. Mm-hmm. And suddenly I had this constantly shared meme show up on most of my social media. And even someone said this to me in person. They said, "Hey, even Jesus was in the ground 3 days and the devil thought he won."
Oh my gosh. Why?
And I just want to know,
Jesus,
what is
if you're listening, please return.
Well, my question to you is, for people who apparently connect Trump's election loss with Jesus's crucifixion and death, what would you say to those folks? How would you pastor that?
I would say you have a serious idol problem. you can't really dance around the issues.
You really can't.
And I think what is happening is that God is exposing where our loyalties lie, where our worship is going. And there are good, solid Christian people who voted for President Trump to be reelected, and they don't worship at his feet. Mm-hmm. You know, they see him as like, yes, he can be a complete disaster, a complete mess, says some stupid things, but we agree with his policies and we don't agree with Joe Biden's policy. Right, and that is perfectly acceptable and great.
Yeah.
But I think what God is doing is exposing those Christians who put memes out like that and say things like that, because only one person deserves that kind of worship, and that is Jesus, because he did die on the cross and rise again. Donald Trump has never done that. And Donald Trump has really not shown any kind of Christian character. You know, he might have done some things that are good for the, you know, the church and you know, religious rights and some other things, yes. But he has not shown Christian character in a public. Because if you're not showing it in public, you're not going to show it in private.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're right. I like the way you say it. The idea of like it just basically exposes the idol worship. I was so taken aback by those images and that sentiment in general, like that whole concept that someone would be like, oh, Trump losing the election is akin to Jesus being crucified, and that the recount process or the counting process, which will apparently in their minds vindicate Trump, because it, you know, according to them, what was going to happen is, you know, they're going to announce Biden, but then like a handful of days later, you know, all of a sudden these counts would mysteriously and magically shift back to Trump, and suddenly they would take it away from him. And I was like, just the whole concept of Trump being your Christ in that sense, right? Like that Trump, that you're more hopeful in Trump's resurrection than in possibly Christ's return. You know, it just like almost unnerved me. Like, I'm not usually disturbed too deeply by stuff that I see on the internet. Like, you should go into the internet with a bit of a thick skin, you know?
Yeah.
But this was one where I was like, it just highlighted, I think, the shallow, superficial discipleship and faith that so many evangelical Christians especially seem to walk it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's some folks here who just, it's kind of like how Paul termed it, right? Like, they're tossed to and fro. They're taken by every wave. They're caught by every wind. You know, they're just simply unsteady in the way that they approach their faith. And these were the kind of moments where it kind of really discouraged me, where I was like, you know, man, just as a pastor, as a church, like we have so much work to do, not only in the world on behalf of Christ, for the gospel, for the kingdom of God. We still have so much work to do within our own churches, because our own people are the ones who perpetuate this stuff. It's our own people who buy into the Paula Whites and give her a platform. It's our own people who share these memes back and forth and you know, kind of sit there like, I get it. You know, your guy didn't win. Be disappointed. That's what politics should be, right? Like, you should put a lot of energy and effort to get your person elected. And if your person gets elected, great celebration. If your person doesn't get elected, there's some grief and lamenting just because of, you know, the loss. But to put them on the same level as a deity, as to put them on the same level as a supernatural, miraculous hand of God moment, like, that was where I was like, whoa, that's disturbing to me.
I mean, it's straight up heresy. It's like it's false teaching, and it needs to be called out for what it is. And also, you know, the same people that are, you know, complaining and crying out for recounts and election fraud and everything else were the same people who told the Democratic side in 2016 to quit being a bunch of snowflakes and accept the election results.
Yeah, it's amazing. Because, it's amazing how that always works in
because Hillary your won favor. The popular vote in 2016, but Trump won the Electoral College. And the Republicans are saying, hey, grow up.
Yeah. Hillary won the popular vote by a much less margin, if I remember right, than Biden won it. Because Biden, in this case, has won both. Yeah. And he's won the popular one, I think, by 4 or 5 million votes. And he's
a lot
won,
more.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like
doubled, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's just one of those things where I feel like it's an interesting kind of situation. That part doesn't surprise me that people would be kind of, you know, overachieving in their win and then a little bit, you know, a little bit hacked off in their loss. It was the connections to like the crucifixion and resurrection as being a symbol or similar situation was just sort of like, wow, people, are you not thinking this through? And the answer is no, they're not. Because again, Paula White called down angels from South America and Africa with
no
scriptural basis for any of that nonsense.
Nowhere else in the world.
I did mention to someone, I said, obviously, you know, what needs to happen is the Archangel Michael. I might have mentioned it to you. It might have been my comment back to you when you shared that to me.
Maybe.
When you shared that video to me, I might have been like, she really needs to, the Archangel Michael really needs to talk to Jeff Bezos and get the heavenly host logistics nailed out.
Because
honestly, let's be frank, if you're sitting in Washington, D.C. and you need a spontaneous intervention of angels and you have to wait for them to come in from Africa.
You need some same-day delivery.
I mean, you really do. Like,
you need really same-day
delivery. And Jeff's the guy who can help you out there. He's got a system. Yeah. 1-2 days tops.
Yeah.
I'm assuming Michael can probably afford to get in on the prime.
Do you think that they do a partnership with using Amazon's drones to get there faster.
Angelic drones.
I don't know.
It was a surreal week to follow that whole thing, right? To see so many different people. Listen, your friend and mine, Jeffers.
Yes. Jeffress.
Jeffress.
Jeffress. We can call him Jeffress.
I don't
Robert Jeffress.
Robert, even he was like, this is where we are.
But then he recanted it.
Oh, gosh darn it. Did he really?
Yes, he did.
I did not see that. Okay. It's never a good thing.
This is my job to keep up with this nonsense.
When this guy is like finally, you know, the voice of reason, you know that you've gone way out. But apparently now he's
recanted.
Oh, okay.
And then Kenneth Copeland had a laughing fit at his church over the election results. So just laugh.
We have so much more to talk about.
Yeah, it's a lot.
But we're going to have to wrap it up for today. We're apparently going to have plenty to continue to dive into. So much more to talk about.
There's so much more nonsense that's going on.
The good thing is we're at least at a place where, you know, we can have a good laugh at the nonsense because it's plenty. It's not going to go away anytime soon. And so we might as well have a good sense of humor. So thank you so much for listening. We will catch up with you next week.
See ya.